I want to tell you a funny story that I didn't even... It's not so funny. Let me start again. I want to tell you a story that I really didn't think I was going to... A message. Rewind. I'd like to tell you a message that I only thought of this very second. Because I've spoken to alumni in the past, but for some reason now it clicked a little bit. The very, 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 very first time that I was at a student's wedding. Okay, my oldest... formal students. In other words, I worked in NCSY for a long time and in camp, but I started teaching formally, I think before a lot of you were born, 1993. And so my oldest students, if they were like 16 years old, how old are they now? 90, I don't do the math so well. Like that was like 22 years ago, yeah? So 22 plus 16, wow. Yeah, so my oldest students are Michelle's age, like around that chevra. And so I, you know, if we say kol ha-melamed et ben chaveiro Torah ki'ilu yilado, so I am a grandfather, Baruch Hashem Yitbarach, many, many times over. My oldest grandchild is like, I know her, because I know, I'm still in touch with her mother, who I taught a long time ago. She's like 16 years old. That's really crazy for me. My spiritual granddaughter, I should say. It's getting creepy. I'll turn to another thing. I actually selfied her with her a couple years ago when I saw her, and then I sent it to her mother, who I'm still in touch with. I'm moving along on the story, but aren't you glad you're here? This is all the introduction. We have about a two-minute cheer, but I have a 58-minute introduction. So I selfied with her, and I sent it to her mother, and Joy said, you can't selfie with a student. I said, she's not my student. She's my granddaughter. And Joy goes like, you know, like that. So I think that means I won. Either that or I'm too creepy even for Joy. Anyway, so I remember the very, very, very first wedding I was ever at of a student. And I said to myself, I was sitting and I turned to Joy during the meal. I really said this. I said, I feel sorry for anybody who's not a teacher. Because I haven't married off any children yet, but I would imagine that it's very similar to marrying off. You care for them so much and you really only wish for their happiness. Anyway, that was a long introduction to say I feel that same way, mamish, right now. To have you guys come back and to learn Torah in Israel and to learn Torah in Shalavim, and you could go anywhere in the world. You could go anywhere in the world. You could buy a ticket anywhere in the world, and yet you chose to buy a ticket here to Yerushalayim and to buy a ticket to Shalavim for Women, and to come back, so to speak, the fish back in water, you know, to learn, to sing a little bit, to smell the wonderful chalent tonight, the mishmar, a tradition continues, Baruch Hashem. I'm not sure if we've gotten better or worse, but apparently it's parv and gluten-free. I don't know if that's called chalent anymore. I think it's just called, like, chunky soup, you know what I mean? I don't know, but anyway. But to come back, it's inspirational for us. It's inspirational for the current students. I'm sure you remember what it was like when alumni came back. Don't say anything. And it's really inspirational for us. It really gives us such a chizuk. And I'm sure you've heard this in all the other shiurim. I hope you have. It's really a chizuk for us. It really recharges our batteries. And it's very much appreciated. I was contemplating between giving two separate shiurim. One shiur I was thinking of giving is a shiur that I'm planning on giving in Mitzvah Hashem this coming Sunday to Shana Aleph, not in Shir Klali, but in a shiur that I've giving this year called Great Debates, Machlokot L'Shem Shamayim. It's a source-based shiur on major machlokot throughout history, everything from really juicy, like should yeshiva boys serve in the army, should women serve in the army, Chassidut versus Mitnagdim, modern orthodoxy, Satmar versus Rav Kook, all that stuff, all the way to like, should there be rabbis today? And there's a shiur that I'm giving on Sunday, believe it or not, about what language the Torah was written in. Sounds like a very simple, very short shiur. you'd be fall off your chair if you saw Gemaras. So I thought I was going to do that, and then I pulled back and I said, you know, I had given a shiur in the past here, in this very room that many of you may have heard. I gave it this past Sunday, part of it, to Shana Aleph. And I said, you know what, first of all, Chazara is important. And number two, I thought that this shiur might be a little bit more, it's all Torah and it's all important, but maybe a little bit more practical for people who have been out of seminary for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years, depending on your age here, 6 years, and like a rejuvenation shear a little bit. I'm sure you guys are, well, you know, I shouldn't say I'm sure. I have said in the past that in many ways life is like a set of matchbox cars that I had when I was a kid. Many of you had it, if not you, maybe your brothers or sisters. You know what a matchbox car is? A little car? Raise your hand if you know what a matchbox car is. Okay, I don't know how far I should go. A little play car. Now we know. Okay. But they used to come on these plastic tracks. I've said this before, but I really believe this is a mashal. They come on these tracks, and then you can like put them together and run them around, and it's really good. And I played with that until I was like 30, 35, and then but then they got this thing that I had, which was really awesome, and that was a machine that you put on top of the track, and it has these two rollers with batteries, and then what happens is the car comes around the track, and then it hits the rollers, shoom, and it shoots out again, and it goes around the track, slowly, 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 hits the shoom, slowly, 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 yeah? And that's the sound effect that it makes also, with an American accent, that's what it sounds like, shoom, and you know. And I feel like in many ways life is like that, that we go through life and we're supposed to, at the Kevesach HaTasa Baboker, regular day, there's no such thing as regular in our lives, but once in a while we need a little bit of a shoom, a booster shot, and I think Shabbat is like that, Chagim are like that. I think coming here, coming to Israel in general, and coming to Shalvim in specific, should be like that. I'm hoping that you're treating it like that, that this is an opportunity for kind of like re-shooting the car out of the chute so that we can keep going. I was in yeshiva. It's not exactly seminary, but I was in yeshiva. And then I left yeshiva like you did, and I went to college like most of you are in, college or graduate school. And I do know what it feels like to kind of feel the car slowing down a little bit and wondering what it's like to... Oh, I remember the good old days of being in yeshiva or seminary. And so I thought that I would give a shiur that some tips, perhaps, about how maybe we can rejuvenate and kind of shoot ourselves through again, that little roller, until the next time that we can reconnect. It's actually, I think I could give the shiur any time we have an alumni reunion, but it happens to be, there's no happens to be, obviously, there's no such thing as happens to be, but it seems to us that it happens to be in this week's Parsha. So we go like this. This week's Parsha, of course, HaChodesh HaZalachem Rosh Chodashim. Here we have Bnei Yisrael waiting for 2 centuries to leave Mitzrayim. We finally get Moshe, we get Aharon, we get the Moftim, we get the Eser Makot, and we literally are about to leave. And I haven't seen, one of my Pesach traditions when I was growing up was a black and white movie called The Ten Commandments. It's a really, I think Cecil B. DeMille, it was like a real, real, real cinema classic. Now, I really saw it like 5, 6 times, but I don't remember. It, let my people go, Moses, let my people go, all that stuff, it's in English. I don't remember, but if I were writing a play or a movie about Aseret HaDibrot, I would skip Perek Yudbet in Shmot. It doesn't work for a movie. Right? We've got this great tension between Moshe and Paro. We have the great brotherhood of Moshe and Aaron. We have Moshe running away, coming back, and the 10 plagues and the blood and the frogs, and I love that movie so far. But I would and then it's time to go, and then you leave. I wouldn't put in the movie Perek Yudbet. Because Yudbet is, if I were a theater goer and didn't have an appreciation for Torah, Perek Yudbet is boring. It's not related to the story. Okay, Korban Pesach. All right, nobody likes Korbanot anyway. Maybe we didn't take a shear on Avodat Beit HaMikdash, so we don't know what happened in the Korban Pesach. We don't really. No. Okay, move on. The truth is that Perek Yudbet, obviously, I don't need to tell you, is essential. It's part of Torah. What makes it essential? We have an idea that Bnei Yisrael, you know, we know the end of the story. Pretend you don't know the end of the story. We have every single person you know, every single person you have ever known, every single person that you have ever heard about in any history lesson is, was, and will be a slave. You are a slave nation. There's no way around it. Your children are going to, it gets better, it gets worse. Children are going to, I'm not yours, but we felt in those days, our ancestors, children were killed, whipped, abused, oppressed. And so, of course I'm going to grow up being a slave. And Hashem says, before it's time to leave Mitzrayim, it's not enough to take the Jews out of Mitzrayim. You also have to take Mitzrayim out of the Jews. And that's an important point in Korban Pesach that you and I, in Yirtzeh Hashem, this year, will bring on Har HaBayit.
Amen.
Is a little different than the Korban Pesach from Perek Yud Bet. Our Korban is called Pesach Dorot. It's Pesach for the generation. That one is called Pesach Mitzrayim. And the Mishnah says that there's a couple of differences. But Big Gadol, it's intended to take the Mitzrayim out of us. I'll give you a couple of examples. And there's a really, really beautiful shiur that I'm not going to give now that you can, it's all about Pesach, obviously, about how the Seder mimics the halachot of Korban Pesach. All right, Soloveitchik says it. Some of you know Tamar Questel. This year, Shana Aleph is Rachel Questel. Her mother and my wife Joy are long, I was going to say old friends, but they're not old. I'll say long time friends. And I'm saying this to you because Joy and I were first married, Joy was invited to Tamar and Rachel's mother's Shabbos Kala. Now, I'm a newlywed. I'm not going to stay home by myself. On the other hand, going to a Shabbos Kala, a guy, it really does not get lower. I mean, Joy said, what should I do? Should I come? Should I stay? It was Shana Rishona. So she said, yeah, you should stay. I should come. I said, oh, that's great. She goes, disappear. I said, what do you mean disappear? No. You are invisible. I said, what am I? And that's what it was. It was me and a couple of my friends. The Rav of the Shul made fun of it. It was a great story. Anyway, the reason why I'm telling you this is because Motzei Shabbat, Tamar and Rachel's grandfather, their mother's father, pulled me aside and he goes, thank you for coming. I said, oh, no, it was my pleasure. He goes, no, it wasn't. I said, okay. He said, I'm going to give you a present. This was really one of the nicest presents I ever got. He said, come. We had been talking over Shabbos. He was Rabbi Soloveitchik's student. And he had taken handwritten notes in some of his shiurim. He said, take a couple shiurim, photocopy it. And I, to this day, I have photocopied notes of their grandfather. I don't even think I told them that story. I should tell them. I don't even think they know. I should give it to them. Anyway, so one of the shiurim, I don't know where, if it's published. Maybe it is in that English book that came out. Anyway, that's another long introduction to say that this is the first time I heard this idea, but bigadol, one example. You are a slave. You have no way, you have no reason to share. You can't share anything. You don't own anything. You don't, everything you receive, you eat. And Rachmana Litzlan, you think about this in the Shoah, it's really, really, really hard to get a tiny bit of food and share it with people. So think about it, ladies. You, and everyone you know, and everyone you've ever met, and anyone you ever will know, have never had Shabbos guests, have never had meal guests, have never gone out to eat, have never eaten with friends. You eat whatever you can eat, and you move on. So that's a Mitzrayim way to live. That's an Avdut way to live. Hashem says, no. Perek Yud Bet, Ish Lefi Ochlo, Tachosu Alaseh. How much are you going to eat? How much are you going to eat? Okay, fine. You guys, let's do a Korban Pesach together. Together? I don't even know what that word means. Well, you're going to learn what that means. You're going to learn that we're a team. You're going to learn that we work together. Isn't that beautiful? That's one. Like one other example. You, and everyone you know, has been a slave. And when you eat like an animal. There's no way around it. You shove it down and you move on. And Hashem says, that's a Mitzrayim way to live. That's an Eved way to live. We're going to say, Etzem lo tish berubo. This is Rabbi Soloveitchik. I'm not Rabbi Soloveitchik. It's the Sefer HaChinuch. This is the Sefer HaChinuch that says, one of the Sefer HaChinuch that says, Acharei HaPeulot Nimshachim Al Vavot. It's in this week's Parsha. He really expounds upon it. And that mitzvah. you're going to learn how to eat slowly, respectfully. You're a ben adam, you're a free person. And on and on and on, many examples. So maybe we'll put in Perek Yudbet into our movie, because it does make sense that this the drama of Bnei Yisrael becoming Bnei Yisrael and not Avadim. But there is one pasuk that we have to leave out if we were writing a movie. But Hashem, Lahavdil, Elef Alfei Avdalot, they want to compare things that shouldn't be compared. But for the sake of illustration, we'll say Hashem is the best movie maker in the world. And he had it in for a reason. Everything I said was in Perek Yudbet, Pasuk Gimel, and beyond. But I skipped Pasuk Bet. Pasuk Aleph is Vayomer Hashem. El Moshe ve'el Aaron be'eretz Mitzrayim le'mor HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim, etc. And that, we don't know why that's in. Why is that here? It's a mitzvah. It's 1/613th of all the mitzvot. But why here? Why do we need this mitzvah here? Why do you put mezuzah? Why do you put tzitzis? Why do you put ve'adolecha kamocha? That makes sense. Seems to be that you should have a mitzvah that is important and impacts all other mitzvot. Now, so many mefarshim ask this question. I'd like to, and I think I've done it in the past when some of you were sitting in these chairs, I'd like to share an answer. I'm sorry, I'd like to share four answers. And I think each one of them is important for you. That's important for me also. It's important for Shana Aleph. It's important for everyone. But maybe it's important for you specifically, people who have chosen to come back and to kind of re-energize and refresh. So I'd like to share these four answers and maybe talk in each one of the answers kind of quickly about practical ways that we can kind of reconnect to the things that you felt when you were here, to the growth that you experienced when you're here, we were here, and hopefully bring it back with you with this really, really, really long extension cord to keep the electricity going wherever you go, whether it's down the block, down Highway 60, or down, you know, Flight 001 at 11:55, whatever time it leaves. Okay. Answer number one. And I don't think there's anything new here, but I just, we'll put it together. I think answer number one, a few people say this. So, again, why is HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem given before Bnei Yisrael become a nation, before Bnei Yisrael receive the Torah? It seems to be that this is like setting the tone for all other mitzvot. You are becoming Bnei Yisrael, so I need to give an introduction. Hashem does it in one pasuk, I do it in 30 minutes. All right, he's a little better than me, but we'll move on. A lot better. Okay, here we go. Infinitely better. I don't even want to. Okay, here we go. Answer number one, as a way to impact all the mitzvot, for you, for me, for all of us, and that is that you are now masters of your own time. You never were before. You never, ever were before. By the way, as a footnote, it's just really too lengthy to go into, but Rabbi Soloveitchik says, and you can see why I'm afraid to touch this, but I'll say it anyway, Rabbi Soloveitchik says, that is why an Eved is patur mi mitzvot aseh she'azman grama. An Eved, a woman, is a completely different reason, because time is not his own. Well, you can't, if time is not your own, you can't be held accountable for time-bound mitzvot. So here you are, you're now free. And being free means being in control of your own time. And so message number one is fixed times as a key to spiritual success. Fixed times. You're not a slave anymore to human masters. You're not a slave anymore to virtual masters. They go by the name YouTube and Facebook nowadays, or a couple other names maybe. You're not a slave. I didn't say never use them. Not a slave. Not a slave anymore. And that means you've got to fix times for your spiritual growth. Fix times. I know that we have given other messages in the past that I'm going to in message number two. But message number one is fixed times. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Zechat Tzadik Livracha, was known for telling his students, one of his students was Rav Yaakovson. I don't know if you know that. Rav Yaakovson learned his entire adult life in Shalavim, from high school till today, except for a few years in Kol Torah under Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. And Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, it's mentioned in a couple places that I know of. I can tell you where they are if you like. There's many Sfarim called Halichot Shlomo. Halichot Shlomo are his students doing halachot with footnotes based on Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. One of the messages is found in volume one, in Moadim, Tishrei, and one is found in Tefillah. Rav Shlomo Zalman was known to discourage boys from davening Vatikin if it would take away from their fixed learning. The footnote says that when he was a young married man, he started davening Vatikin until he realized it took him away from his fixed learning. And the story goes that his grandson asked him, "How did you become a gadol?" So first of all, he answered the question, which is already a huge thing. I love that he answered it. And his answer was, "I learn when I'm supposed to learn. I eat when I'm supposed to eat. And I sleep when I'm supposed to sleep." And Kein Haya, Shlomo Zalman, was very much... The footnotes, I'm just quoting the footnotes in English. In these two Sfarim. He was very makbid on fixed times, and he was makbid when other people were late. If I have a meeting at 3 o'clock, you come at 3 o'clock. He was really, I think the story goes, it's not written here, that he got 8 hours of sleep a night. Now I say that because neither you nor me can do that, at least not on a regular basis. We're busy. He was busier than us, I think. And yet he said, "I have to sleep. I do what I need to do." And I really believe, there's so many stories, I really believe that that is an answer number one. I've said this to you, I think, when you were students here. Of all the pieces of advice that I could give you for maintaining your spiritual growth, and there are a lot, and we're going to say a number, one of the top two is this: fixed times. It's not going to happen if you don't fix times. And it's better to learn, in my mind, and I'm only quoting people before me, it's better to learn a little bit less per day, fixed, than learning a real lot once in a while. And this is what we've mentioned in the past, something that I have called TMT, 10-minute Torah, 20-minute Torah, 30-minute Torah. It's a whole process that I do myself and I recommend others doing. You're busy, Baruch Hashem. Some of you are in school, and some of you are in graduate school, some of you are working. You're busy, and I'm busy, and it's a blessing to be busy. We all know people who are not busy. Maybe they're out of work, chas v'shalom, or they're too ill to work, or nobody wants to hire them, whatever it is. It's a blessing to be busy, to be in school, to be rushed. And so things get in the way of the things we want to do. I understand that. It happens to me. Happens to you. Besimcha. But we can find 10 minutes a day. And you are a different person. You will be a completely different person in a month, in a year, if no matter what. Midterms, finals, a big date, a job interview, a big paper to write, whatever it is. And we all have these pressures. But 10 minutes I can find. 10 minutes I can find. And 10 minutes is not 11. I'm a little bit crazy about that. You want to learn 11 minutes, then do 10 minutes and then something else. I say that because the first day you do it reminds me of the time I was like in 5th or 6th grade, maybe a little older, and I saw a movie called Rocky. The very first Rocky. It is quite possible, well, I'm not promising, I saw it with your father, I don't know, it could be, but, and I'm not recommending you watch this movie, definitely not. There's the first one, they say it's a classic, it's about a boxer, a guy, and he... You know what I'm talking about? Fine. It's not about music. Like Rocky. It's like Rocky. Yeah, that's like a drum. Rocky. It's Rocky. I can't do either, but all right. Anyway, and you know, there's a scene in this movie where Rocky, he's like a grubby guy, and he's like scratching, and it goes like this. You ready? Da 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 da. You know that thing? Okay, that's like, oh man. And so you walk out of the theaters. I don't know if you know what that is, but I did when I was in 7th grade or 6th grade. And you walk out and you go, okay, I'm becoming Rocky. I mean, that's it. I don't care. That's it. I'm becoming. And so what do? You jog 4 miles as a 7th grader down McCormick, up and down McCormick, or whatever that is, McCormick. Okay. And that's amazing until you come home and you can't move because you just jogged 4 miles and you don't even know how to go from the couch to the television set because the remote controls haven't been invented yet, and that's hard enough to change the channel on the TV. But you did it. So how much do you think you jog after those first 4 miles? I'll give you a hint. Round it off to the nearest 5. That's correct. 0. That's it. Because you did too much. I don't want to compare things that shouldn't be compared. But for the sake of illustration, it's hard to compare anything to Torah. But if I say to you 10 minutes Torah, so the first day you do it, you're on vacation, 1.5 hours. Awesome, I did 1.5 hours. And the answer is you got ripped off. Because you're never going to do 1.5 hours. In the middle of midterms and finals and all the pressures. Kviat Itim means fixed times. And one of you is going to be 1 hour a day. One of you is going to be 2 hours a day. One of you is going to do 1 hour every 2nd day. One hour a 3rd day. That's one thing. But that's also cancelable, unfortunately, because of busy things. This is 10 minutes that is written in stone. You wake up in the morning, you get dressed. Okay, that's on this level. You wake up in the morning and you check your phone. It's even higher than this level. 10 minutes. I can talk for the rest of this year on 10-minute Torah. I know people who do it, and it's different. I know people who don't do it. It's 10 minutes. I'm talking about the Emir Tzashem Yitbarach Shemo, the day you get married. With Emir Tzashem, with all the good craziness, 10 minutes you can do. Can you imagine what kind of person you'll be? And your focus, and your linking in, that no matter what, I link in to Torah at least 10 minutes a day? More to say, I think that's lesson number one. You're in charge. And whatever we do, and people waste time, and people throw away time, we shouldn't, and we'll talk about that right now. But part one is Kviat Itim. Kavata Itim La Torah. This is one of the questions we're going to be asked. Masechet Shabbat tells us that Rava gives us the questions to the final exam, and one of the questions is the second question. First one is Nasata V'Natata Be'emuna. The second question is Kavata Itim La Torah. Did you fix times for learning? The question is not going to be, did you learn a lot of Torah? The question is, kavata itim la Torah. I don't care if you're learning in seminary or in kollel or you're in a job or in school. Everyone gets the same questions. So those of you who are studying psychometry or SATs, the SATs are way beyond. GMATs, what? Or MDATs, or MCATs. MDATs are for dental school, no? MCATs. What's that? DATS. DATS. MCATs. GREs. All the fun letters that you guys are now shivering over. I love it. I took myself, not those, but you know, some of them. And can you imagine if your tutor, I took Princeton Review. You know Princeton Review is still around? Yeah. SATs, I took Stanley Kaplan, and Princeton Review I took for GREs. And you know who Joe Bloggs is? Oh, okay, that was in the old days. Okay. Anyway, can you imagine the tutor gets up or whatever, the testing coach goes, okay, you know, I'm going to give you some pointers. Here it is. Here's the first question on your test. What? Yeah, I know the test. Is it cheating? No, it was printed millions of times. Art Scroll translated the questions. Art Scroll. Yeah, I'm mixing metaphors. Yeah, it's printed up. I got the questions. What are the answers? That's up to you. The answers are up to you, but the questions I'm giving you. Okay. So that's number one, and I recommend it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Alechem, you're in charge of your own time. Point two is the same idea, but a little different. And that's, of course, using your time wisely. Sem Torah, SEM, squeeze every minute. You can go online. This is the commercial. We put up a Sem Torah every week for the past 3 years. Every week. Summer, winter, fall. The second message is using your time wisely. I'm going to say something which is really, really, really risky, but I think it's true. I hope, and if I'm wrong, then please forgive me. I think people in college and I know you're busy, I think people in college have more time than other people pre-college and post-college. I could be wrong. I'm sure it depends on what college you go to. I'm sure it depends on what your major is. I'm sure it depends on what other things you've taken upon yourself outside of college. But people who go to college quite possibly could have a class that begins at 11 and ends at 3, and that's your class. Of course, there's homework. Of course, there's tests. Of course, there's other things. But I'm talking about using time wisely. Learning how, and we all need to, time management, and if things are important to you, and all the mussar, this is not mussar, these are suggestions of HaKhorosh HaZalachem being a message of using time wisely. I am sure you're familiar, you are familiar, as soon as I start telling it, I'm sure you're going to know, is about the Gemara Masachet Nedarim Daf Nun. Everyone here knows the story in the Gemara in Nedarim Daf Nun. Just say what the Gemara story is already. And those, the answer is the story of Rabbi Akiva. Well, there's a lot of stories about Rabbi Akiva, but this is the story about Rabbi Akiva, the narrative about Rabbi Akiva, who knows nothing from nothing. He marries Rachel. She's the daughter of Kalba Savua. He's one of the richest people in Israel. And he disowns her. They sleep in a barn. They pick out wheat from each other's hair every morning. I mean, this is the daughter of Bill Gates. Literally the daughter of Bill Gates sleeping homeless. Because she saw something in this literally ignorant shepherd who doesn't have a first grade education. And he hated the Rabbanim so much that he said that if he ever saw one, this is before he became Rabbi Akiva, he said that if I ever saw one, I would bite them like a donkey. Some people say donkey. I would bite them like a donkey. And everyone asked him, why a donkey? Just say a dog. Most people say dogs. And he says, no, because a dog just bites and then lets go. But a donkey bites and holds on and breaks the bone. That's how much I hate Talmidei Chachamim. This is the guy that I am not recommending you marry. Yeah, I got this great guy for you. Yeah, he knows nothing, can't read Hebrew, wants to kill Talmidei Chachamim. Oh, he sounds just the guy for me. Well, Rachel said, that is the guy for me. And her father said, no, he ain't, in whatever language he spoke. And he disowned her. And then the Gemara continues that he went to school with his son. First grade. Sits in those little tables and draws a little bit, then learns how to read, and eventually becomes a Bekiva. And here's the story. He goes to yeshiva for 12 years. Remember that? And here's, you remember this, time for him to come back after 12 years. He's about to walk in the house, and he hears a conversation between some bum and Mrs. Akiva, and he says to her, you see that? Your father was right, because your husband abandoned you for 12 years. And she says to him, to this guy, we don't know his name, we just know that he's some kind of, he's called a Rasha, actually, in the Gemara. She says to him, if it were up to me, I would give him another 12 years. What does Rabbi Akiva do? So I'll tell you what the Gemara doesn't say. He walks into the house, says, thank you so much, Mrs. Akiva. I knew we were a good shidduch. Let's sit down, have some coffee, take a walk, schmooze a little bit, catch up. Introduce me to some of the kids, you know, and I'll go, you know. I have a week to get back to yeshiva, 2 weeks. Let's hang out a little bit, get to know each other again, and then I'll go. It would still be an incredible story. 12 years, 24 years. I'm not recommending this to you. I'm not recommending this to me, but Rabbi Akiva did it. That is not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says he turned around and walked away, back to yeshiva, 12 years. And the Sichot Musar, in English we call him the Sichot Musar, Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz asks a very basic question. Why didn't he just walk inside? Why didn't he say hello? What kind of Derech Eretz is that? And I think the answer is, for you and me, that would really be wrong. Rabbi Akiva is Rabbi Akiva, Rachel is Rachel, two different people than you and me. At least me, I don't know about you. At least me. I couldn't live like that. I don't think it's right for my wife to do it to me, and I don't think it's right for me to do it to my wife. And I don't think for you either, but I'm not sure about you. But for me, I know. But Rabbi Akiva is Rabbi Akiva. And Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz says, how could he didn't just walk in? And the answer is mind-boggling, and it goes to the second point. Rabbi Akiva knew well that the time was right at that moment. And had he gone in even for a moment, he could have lost the drive, and Rabbi Akiva would not have become Rabbi Akiva. I don't know if you remember, but the story continues when he came back after 12 years, he had thousands of students. Remember that? And she was jostling, and
he...
12 and 12 years.
Oh, after he went.
Yeah, 12 and another 12, yeah. But he didn't have the thousands of students the first time he came back. That's what I'm saying. Rabbi Akiva became Rabbi Akiva the second time, so to speak, in terms of his... And it was because he said, I need to do this now. I'll read the words to you. This is the Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz on Parashat Acharei Mot. Yadoa yada Rabbi Akiva. Et hasakana hakrucha behefsek sha'al yedei haknisa habayta. He knew very well the dangers of walking into the house of this hefsek. V'afilu im yikanes lerega echad bilvad mi yodeya im yuchal lehamshich be'ota mida shel aliyah shehaita kol yud bet shana. Ki hefsek koldehu. Koldehu means any amount. Because even any amount of safek goreim leyerida. I'm not Rabbi Akiva. I don't think you are. So I'm not talking about that exact message. I'm talking about the general message. It's so hard. When I was in yeshiva, Rav Yaakovson was in yeshiva, when Rav Yama was in yeshiva, most of the Rebbeim you know were in Shalvim, the Rosh Yeshiva was not Rav Yaakovson. He was my Shana Aleph Rebbe. I was about to say first grade Rebbe, but in many ways he was my first grade Rebbe. The Rosh Yeshiva is a man by the name of, and still alive, Baruch Hashem, Rav Meir Schlesinger, Shlita. And he told us, he comes from Yerushalayim, he's an Israeli from Yerushalayim. He learned in Panovich for a long time. There was no Shalvim. Panovich is in what city? Bnei Brak. There are people who commute from Bnei Brak to Yerushalayim every day. He told us that he would go to yeshiva on Sukkot. This is before, of course, cell phones, even regular phones. And he would not return home until Pesach. Now it sounds like he's a local boy. It's a certain using your time wisely, squeezing every minute. The story is told about Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman. Elchanan Wasserman was killed in the Shoah in 1941. Again, is this a story that you and I can't deal with this, but Elchanan Wasserman was one of the prize students of the Chafetz Chaim. He learned with the Chafetz Chaim. Very, very poor boy, and he needed new shoes, holes, and they were dirty. So his friends got together, and without him knowing, and bought him a pair of shoes. And the story goes that he was thrilled with them, thank you so much. But privately, he was a little upset. Because he didn't pick out the shoes, he would have picked out different shoes. So you're already thinking, at least if I'm thinking, like, okay, the heels, the stitching, the color, that wasn't his problem. The problem was is that his old shoes were slip-ons. And these shoes, he had to tie. He didn't want to waste the time tying a shoe. Every day. These are people who just squeeze every minute. And I know that neither I don't live like that, although it is true that I have ties on my shoes and yet I slip them on and off. That's a habit, but not because of that. It's probably the opposite, probably more laziness, chas v'shalom, than anything else. But anyway, the idea is that every single minute counts. And sometimes it's good to relax. No question about it, I do it also. And those of you who heard maybe when you were here, I have an idea I'm happy to share with you another time, a certain formula on what to think about, of when it's a good idea, to watch something, to read something, to hang out, to take a nap, all mutter, recommended. Vacation dates all the way back to the days of the Mishnah. But when not to. And that's important. So squeezing every minute, especially people who are a little younger, who have a little bit of a more flexible schedule. And it's kind of like you can wake up and the day goes by with nothing to show for it. And that's so frustrating. I sort of used to experience that. You may be familiar with this. When I was in elementary school or high school, on the snow days. A snow day is like you wake up obviously early because you want to think that there's, you know, there's snow, and you thank Hashem there's no such thing as a korban toda that you're obligated to bring than there is. Those of you who come from snowbound countries, you're going to have to forgive me. It's white and it's frozen, falls
China
from the sky. I know. Falls from the sky. Picture it like an earthquake day off or something. That's a little easier for you to relate to.
Oh, really?
In Israel, you know, in where we came from, we used to daven for snow days. In Israel, they daven for strike days. My kids experienced this exact story like 2 weeks ago. I'm not kidding. There was a story the whole country knew. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
We had the same thing for school.
To check the news.
See?
If we had to wake up 6 o'clock.
That's it. To see if you. There was a.
I was so sad.
Yes. See, welcome.
I was so upset.
You don't have snow days from where you're originally from.
Yeah, we do.
Oh, you do snow days.
It's like Israel's what the forecast says.
Then the queen says, "That's it. No more waving. That's over."
Yeah.
She's like, no snow. My kids had exactly that. They go to sleep like, shouldn't you study? No, they told us this teachers are striking tomorrow. Okay, are you sure? Yeah, we said, I'm telling you, it's not guaranteed. No. He told me that. Okay, fine. They momish wake up in the morning. What? There's no strike. You look outside. There's no strike on the ground. It was like, I gotta go to school. You know that feeling? It's like, snow. Okay. Anyway, snow day, when there was a snow day, you wake up, you say thank you Hashem 500 times. And because this is gonna be the day, I have so much work, I have to study, and I have to write a paper, and I gotta, and then, but you know, I don't have to wake up so early, and my father can't yell at me for not going to minyan. I mean, it's a snow day, so okay. And then a little bit, and then a this, and then you got to eat breakfast. I mean, breakfast is important. It's important to eat breakfast. You got to, I mean, be safe. Careful. What, you want me to fast? To eat breakfast, and then while you're in breakfast, so I mean, maybe the television is really close to breakfast, so there's probably something important I don't get a chance to watch. Some Good Morning America that I never ever thought of watching in my life, especially in like ninth grade, but well, because I have to be informed, you know, I have to know what's going on, the latest, you know, gossip and everything. And then, all right, it's 11 o'clock, and I don't have to right away. I can go sledding. We used to go sledding by Holy Cross Hospital. This is okay. I have a lot of okay. This is like, these are real personal stories. And then like it's 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock, I'm gonna study, and then 6 o'clock, and oh gosh, Hashem, one more snow day. That happens to, I would imagine, people that you know, when there's no set schedule. 11 o'clock is the first class, so I'm not waking up at 7 to do. The answer is yes, we squeeze every minute. Life is too short. Okay, I can talk more, but I'm going to move on to message number 3 because time is running out and we have to use our time wisely. Message number 3 is a completely different direction. Completely different direction, which I also think is another reason why this has to be the introduction to all mitzvot, and I think you and I can learn a lot from this. This comes from the Sfat Emet. In English, he's called the Sfas Emes. Rabbi Yehuda Leib Alter died in 1905. He was the second Gera Rebbe. And in an article that he wrote on Rosh Chodesh in 1885, says like this: the reason why this is the very, very first mitzvah that Rashi in the first Rashi in the Chumash says I'm supposed to start with Perek Yud Bet. Remember that Rashi? Is because of a message that impacts every other mitzvah. And that is two words: Koach HaHitchadshut. Koach HaHitchadshut. We know the halacha is that every 30 days we start getting into a habit. So if it's time to start saying Mashiva Ruach HaMoed HaGashem, so if I'm not sure if I said it, well, Have I been saying it for 30 days, or have I not been saying it for 30 days? If I've been saying it for 30 days, then I can assume I've gotten into the habit of saying Mashiva Ruach, Tein Tal Lu Matar, Morid Atal, all those. If I see an amazing mountain, if I see the Kinneret, if I see the Hermon, some of you, if I see the Dead Sea, I'm supposed to make a bracha, Oseh Maaseh Bereishit. But not if you see it within 30 days. If I've seen it within 30 days, I've kind of gotten into the habit of seeing it. After 30 days, I lost that habit. If I haven't seen a friend in 30 days, we don't paskin like this so much today because we have cell phones and we hear about people, but if I haven't seen a friend in 30 days, Shechiyanu v'kiyamanu v'yigyanu l'zman hazeh, that's what we do. I once in my life, when Shalvim turned 50, at the 50th anniversary of Shalvim's founding, there was a whole big thing at the yeshiva, and I went there also, and I ran into my chavruta from Shana Aleph. I hadn't seen him in years, and his name is Yisrael, and we were really close in those days, and you know, time and geography did their thing, and I haven't seen him in a long time. We gave each other this big hug. He's a little taller than me, so I get a big hug, and we separate, and he puts his hand on my shoulders, and he says, and Hebrew is Israeli, he says, if I don't say this now, I will never say this in my life. Baruch Ata Hashem Elokim Hashem Shechianu V'kiyamanu V'yigyanu l'zman hazeh. It was really special. I felt guilty not reciprocating. I should have, I guess, but it was really special. So if you haven't seen someone, if you've seen them, or if you hear about them, so you don't say bracha. But 30 days creates habit throughout halacha, and that is why. Once, at least, you can't go 30 days without Achonos Zalachem. You can't go 30 days without Rosh Chodesh. It refreshes. It's time, and you, Bnei Yisrael, have that ability that no other nation has. Koach Hayitchadshut, the Sfat Emet says that. Koach Hayitchadshut, looking at things differently. I'm going to read to you from an article that was written by the former president of Yeshiva University. I think he's the chancellor now, Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb. He says so beautifully, I'm going to read to you from that. HaChodesh, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem is a commandment to experience renewal, the relief from stultifying and crippling conventionality. It is the mitzvah to redeem ourselves from wearying and fossilizing habit and paralyzing patterns. It means that we must make a conscious effort to do things differently. Listen to this, ladies. This is it speaks right, I think, to all of us, me for sure. We must challenge, as Rabbi Lamb still speaking, we must challenge ourselves, for instance, not always to sing the same songs, to extend the same greetings, to pockmark our speech with the same cliches, to respond with the same stereotype reactions, to affect the same study habits, the same grudges and affections, the same likes and dislikes. Above all, it means not always to adhere to the same level of observance of Judaism, but always to try to reach new heights and new enthusiasm. We must never be satisfied with the mitzvat anashim milumadat, a pasuk in Yeshayahu Perek Chavtet, you know, doing things by rote. We must never be satisfied with mitzvat anashim milumadat, doing things in a mechanical, heartless, soulless way. Rather, we must experience renewal. Now this is true for you, this is true for me, it's true for the next 120 years, but it's certainly true for you. I mean, you may be the last people I should be speaking with, because you're here. You came for Hitchadshut. You came to Israel to breathe the air. You came to Yerushalayim to breathe the air. You came to Shalvim of Women to breathe the air. You reconnected. So keep doing that. Keep renewing, refreshing. Bnei Israel, you're going to get the Torah. You're going to get 612 other mitzvot. You are. But all those mitzvot, Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, Bein Adam L'Makom, Be'at Lecha Kamocha, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, each one of those has to have HaChodesh HaZalachem in them. You daven every day, but it's the same davening every day. I myself, I think I may have told this in the past, I change my sitter every 3, 4, 5 months. Same words, but a little different font. Now, by the way, Joy, I'm just telling you because many people like this, has been davening with the same sitter since high school. That's amazing. She's got, I mean, thousands of fingerprints in there and frayed pages and old post-it notes and new ones. That's one way, and I love that, and I'm jealous of that. I do a different way. Each one is, it's elu v'elu. A little bit new, a little refreshing. I changed my seat in davening. Not on Shabbat, because it's a little too crowded. During the week, last night, I went to shul with one of my sons, and we walked in, he's Meir, the youngest. Bar mitzvah is in the summertime. Okay? I just can't believe that that the twins are bar mitzvah, and I have all this blonde in my hair. I don't know how that happens. I'm just coming back, you know. It's incredible. And so we walk in, this is like a common thing. I say, where do you want to sit? And he'll sit anywhere. When I do that with Shimmy, he walks over to the rabbi's seat and about to sit down, but I say, okay, Shimmy, okay, not anywhere, certain places. And then one time he walked up to the women's section. I said, Shimmy, okay, Baruch Hashem, now I know I have all this blood. Anyway, renew a little bit, refresh a little bit, a little things differently. I myself, even as a teacher, there's very few things, at least not on a weekly basis, that I teach. I've never taught the same thing. Is this true? More than 3 years in a row. I've sometimes come back to it, but I also need to refresh. There are certain messages that I think my students have to hear, but even then I try to change it up a little bit. I think it's very important. Hitchatshut, every single mitzvah you do, new change. One more with time running out. To squeeze every minute, but also to be respectful of your time. This is the Baal Shem Tov, the father of modern Hasidut. Okay, we'll just say the father of Hasidut. The father of Hasidut, the Baal Shem Tov, has another answer. Why should this mitzvah be first? And it's another kind of thing that you and I might be able to learn from. The Baal Shem Tov says, quoting a medrash from this week's Parsha, on these psukim, Kiddush HaChodesh reminds us that we are literally partners with Hashem. Teamwork. Hashem, and I'm saying this very carefully, so to speak, in the world that He created with the rules that He made, He needs us. In that little way. He needs us. HaChodesh HaLachem. HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim. Hashem, so to speak, and I'm saying this carefully, cannot, because of the rules that He's chosen, make Rosh Chodesh. He can make Shabbos. But I make Rosh Chodesh. I make Pesach. I make Shavuot. Humans make Sukkot. Shmini Atzeret. I tell you, God, today I'm allowed to drive, tomorrow's Yom Kippur. I'm the one that decides that, because I decided. I mean, humans make Rosh Chodesh. HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. You are a partner, and this is not true only about Rosh Chodesh. This is a message for all other 612 mitzvot. You're a partner. God needs you. And God has a job for you. Rabbi Soloveitchik says, and with this I'll end, in a second, I'm sure you know the Rav Kook that we mentioned a few times about how you were needed the day you were born. Ad shelo notzarti ki'ilu lo notzarti. No, sorry, that's not how it goes. You were saying it right now, I messed you up. Ad shelo notzarti eini kedai. V'achshav shenotzarti ki'ilu lo notzarti. We say it in Slichot. Rav Kook says that before I was born, I wasn't needed. None of you, neither was I, born in the 1300s, in the 1400s, in the Holocaust, in Tachvatat. We weren't born in Hebron in 1929. We weren't born in 1776. We were born the exact day and time that the world needed us. You're a partner with Hashem. Rabbi Soloveitchik says it a little bit differently, which is a very, very beautiful idea. We know in Halacha, Rabbi Soloveitchik starts with Halacha, of course, The halacha is that if I want to pay somebody money, $100, I can send you to be my shaliach. True? Shaliach. We don't do this anymore, but I could even marry somebody with a shaliach. Send my shaliach. He says to her, Harei at mikudeshet lo, and she and I are married. Incredible. So if I ask you, be my shaliach to pay my friend back, it's 100 shekel, he lives in New York, please do it within the next year. And you live in New York, go to school in New York, is that good shlichut? Yes, says Rabbi Soloveitchik, of course. And if you don't do it, you're liable. But what happens if I say, I have 100 shekel to pay my friend in New York, you're my shaliach, and you've got to pay him in the next 3 minutes. Okay, we'll take out electronic and PayPal and all that stuff. Can you get to New York in 3 minutes? No. Therefore, are you a bad shaliach? No. What are you? You're not a shaliach. There's shlichut. Halachic shlichut has not been created. You follow so far? Halachic shlichut has not been created because I gave you an impossible task. It's impossible. Says Rabbi Soloveitchik, if you're a shaliach of Hashem, to bring whatever strengths you have in this world and your unique personality and connection to the 612 other mitzvot, 613 mitzvot, then obviously Hashem says and knows that you can do it. You're a real shaliach. You're a real shaliach. You're a halachic shaliach. And you got to do it. You can't say, God, you gave me an impossible task. That's not true. If God made me a shaliach, that is proof that I can do it. Because a shaliach is only a shaliach when she can do the shlichut. You follow that? Isn't that amazing? So you can do it. You can be a partner with Hashem. You can be His messenger to bring whatever kochot you have to the mitzvot. Beneram lachavero, beneram lamakom, beneram laatzmo. And Achorosh Hazel Lachem reminds you on a regular basis, you can do it. It's hard. Life is hard sometimes. Dating is hard. Newly marrieds are hard. Jobs are hard. School is hard. Living with... it's hard. We live in a world of speed bumps. But they're only speed bumps. If they were brick walls, then Hashem wouldn't have given me the task. It means I can do it. And so the bracha to you, and I'm ending the way I started. I thank you for coming on behalf of Shana Aleph and outgoing Shana Bet and the teachers here. Rabbi Tretzky's biggest problem arranging these days is that he doesn't have enough time, I'm serious, for all the teachers who are clamoring to teach you. It's because they just love teaching you and because we get our own energy. And so whether we look at HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem as a message for fixed times or for using times wisely, I mean, those are both true, or whether it's an idea of Hitchadshut or being a shutaf with Hashem, any and all of those, Im Yirtzeh Hashem, we should be zocha to renewed energies and to renewed strengths, renewed confidence, renewed mission in our lives. And we're waiting for you to return, those of you who are not here always, we're waiting for you to return back to these shores where we can, Im Yirtzeh Hashem, get past Pasuk Bet, have a Chorus of Lachem, and go to Pasuk Gimel, bring a Korban Pesach in the Beit HaMikdash.